Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Stand clear. Oh.
Welcome, everybody. Dr. Homebrew here for you, with you, even during these trying times. Beverly just blinded me by turning on the lights, and it reflected off of her shoulders, and I don't like
it. I noticed that.
It was dark and brooding in here. I'm trying to be in a bad mood.
It was like the green flash at the when the sun goes down.
Yeah.
But it's
sorry, Beverly.
Right.
I apologize.
Are you implying that Beverly is like...
I don't know.
Brian,
push the button on your thing.
Brian.
This button here?
I couldn't see your faces, your beautiful faces on the camera.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be miserable. I'm trying to be a miserable asshole today.
Nobody
you
watches
already
this.
Are.
I'm trying to be worse than that. Anyway, it's Dr. Homebrew, and you know what's not miserable is using PBW and Star Sand from Five Star Chemicals. You know, I used PBW to clean out my dishwasher. Because apparently there's a bunch of mung and like nonsense that can live in your dishwasher. Not with PBW. Cleaned it right up. Like these little fat deposits.
Organics just go away.
Yeah, it was actually might do it again because I put just a little bit in the bottom and it got a lot of it out, but then I just didn't do it again.
You know what you got to check for in your dishwasher? Here's a public service announcement. Not just about Homebrew for you and our listeners.
All right.
There's a place called the ledge in your dishwasher. So when you close that door, lip on the door closes on top of the sort of main cavern of the dishwasher. And if you got junk in there, it'll just get kind of smooshed down and never rinses out. And every month or so, you ought to grab like a napkin, or Beverly's looking at me like, oh my God, what's the matter with you? You want to grab something and like just clean, just take it and just
that's what I'm talking about.
Drag it along there. Get that stuff off of there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's called schmegma.
Mine has a trap and everything I had to take out. It was gross. It was like congealed fat deposits.
Something. Yeah.
It was not good. It was like
pollen. You can run your dishwasher for a while, get some hot water in there, and then just, don't close it. Just leave the water in there and just dump a bunch of PBW in there so it just soaks.
Yeah.
And then you can really do it.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
But sprinkling a little bit on there worked wonders, and it can do the same thing for your carboys and all the kind of other mung that you don't want to deal with.
I wouldn't do Star Sand in the dishwasher though. That might
No. Yeah, don't do Star Sand, but definitely PBW is fine. Everything will be all right. So thank you to Five Star folks for keeping the show on the air. All right,
works well for brewing equipment.
That's true.
Ask me what happens when you put Star Sand in your dishwasher.
We have two beers for you guys today. We have an English barley wine and an American brown ale. And I'm excited about both of these beers.
Yeah.
Let me wave at Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Let's see.
Where's Barbie tonight?
Let's make sure Ken is ready. I'm just basically throwing emojis at him over Skype. There's a smiley face and the thumbs up. I like the Skype thumbs up because it starts as like a fist, and then the thumb actually comes up.
Pops up.
Yeah, it's a moving.
Oh, nice.
Like thing. So
I wonder what their poop emoji is like then.
I don't know. That would be cool, like soft serve kind of a deal.
Do they have a head banging emoji?
Let's try to just give Ken a call here. Maybe he's like, yeah, I see your emojis, dude. Ken's not online. So let's go ahead and start with his beer, and he'll catch up.
We're going to pour it. No breaks here. We're just going to go right
into it. We're going to go right into it. I want to get in, get out.
Got a nice little hiss there when I opened it, and I'm going to pour this down the glasses here. You want some too, JP?
Yeah, man. Why
not? Here we go. We have our... a little 8-ounce judging glasses here.
Thank you, sir. All right. Brian Schaar, why don't you go ahead and start on Ken's English Barley Wine, please?
Yes, thank you, Jason. I really like this beer, as an initial statement. This is a really tasty beer.
It is.
Nice hiss when the bottle opened.
Yeah.
Always a good sign. I checked the mark for bottle inspection. It was appropriate size bottle and fill and everything. The aroma was great. great not being a favorite descriptor. But it was malty, had kind of a candy, candy-like sugar character to it, more of a toffee when I sat and thought about it for a little bit. You know, what's more British than toffee, really? Medium floral and earthy hops. No off aromas, no diacetyl. Got some, at a low level, kind of a bready character. Not B-R-E-T-T, but B-R-E-A-D, like sandwich. Sweet ethanol. It was a very complex aroma. Really liked it. Gave that 10 out of 12 for the aroma. And I just smelled it again because I liked it so much. The appearance, medium to dark brown. There are some ruby highlights when you hold it up to the light. The head is low and doesn't persist, but that's expected for a style that has this much alcohol. It's totally okay. To the extent you can tell with a beer that's this dark, it's very clear. 3 out of 3 for appearance. Flavor, initially the flavor is malt and toffee, followed up by ethanol sweetness. And I think it's important to, you know, when you're scoring a beer like this, when you have, when it's hot or harsh or otherwise unpleasant, that's often something that comes up more in mouthfeel. There's a certain character to ethanol, especially when it's clean and well fermented, and, you know, not fermented hot where it's fusel-y, where you've had a good fermentation. There is kind of a sweet ethanol character you can get in a high alcohol beer, and that's definitely present here. And that goes in the as a flavor descriptor and not a mouthfeel descriptor. Bitterness comes up mid-palate to almost balance. It's still more of a malt-oriented beer to me. Finish is medium duration. It's clean, malty, toffee, really well attenuated. You know, I thought this was really, for a beer that's this big, and it's not quite as big alcohol-wise as an American barley wine typically, but it's a big beer. And this beer is, you know, good job on fermentation because it's well attenuated. It doesn't leave a lot of warty type character behind. You have a sip and then you want more. So yeah, 14 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, 5 out of 5. It's warming, definitely, but not harsh. Low carbonation. That low carbonation is okay for this style. It's British and it's a high alcohol beer, so that's acceptable. Full-bodied, creamy, again, 5 out of 5. Overall impression, 8 out of 10. A beer like this is why people like to drink this style of beer. And this is just really well-made. It's flavorful. It's complex. Complex flavor, complex aroma, tasty alcohol without being harsh or fusel-y. Very well done in a difficult style to ferment. I guess if I were to want one more thing, And it's kind of contradictory to what I just said, so excuse me for being, you know, internally inconsistent here. But
it's all right.
Maybe a little bit longer finish on this beer would be nice.
Wow.
And that's not really fair for two reasons.
Tell me about it, brother.
One is, it's well attenuated, and I was thinking about this in the car. I judged this at home, and I was then thinking about this
I judged this in traffic on the way over.
Well, yeah, well, who doesn't? I mean, that's, if you're going to be a real doctor of homebrew, you're going to be ready to judge in pretty much any circumstance.
That's right.
I should have come up a couple points on this, and I'm probably even willing to come up a couple points on this because I'd rather have it be well attenuated and drinkable like it is than if a longer finish means maybe it's not quite as attenuated and it stays on the tongue longer, I think it will be less pleasant.
Hmm.
Right? And it's
it starts to get
cloying. And I've always kind of struggled with when you have a beer that you like in every respect except for maybe the finish is really short. Yeah, that's like one of the. I'm a grandmaster judge, and I still don't know after 25 years of brewing, how are you supposed to adjust the finish, sort of by itself? And all I can think of is attenuation. But I like the attenuation the way it is. So I gave this a 40, but you know, realistically, I probably should come up a couple to give this more of a 42.
Mm-hmm. Combination,
really, really well done.
Yeah, attenuation and the aftertaste, like the lingering flavors that stay on your tongue and don't just dry off and wash away. You know,
right? But the finish is long enough. It's not like it immediately goes off the tongue and you don't taste it anymore.
Sure.
And I'd rather have that trade off of it being this attenuated and drinkable than be a little bit less attenuated and then be cloying and not as pleasant.
The finish of this water is pretty dry. It doesn't linger on my tongue like I'd like it to.
That's true.
What's the wetness factor, though?
You call this water?
It's very thin water. Yeah. All right, Brian Cooper.
Okay.
Let's go.
I very much liked this beer as well, I will say up front. Hey, nice strong hiss when it opened it up. In the nose, I get a pleasantly rich malty quality. It's moderately caramelly with a low fig-like note behind that.
Note.
A slight kind of, hey, there's my Minnesota coming out there. Yeah, don't
this
you know?
This note is very nice. I'd like to ignite this note for dinner.
I got a very slight tobacco and leather kind of quality in the nose.
Sexy.
It's like an old, you know, an old couch with in a pipe smoker's house kind of. I mean, it doesn't really smell like that, but it gives you that impression.
Was that supposed to make this sound appealing?
I'm just trying to romanticize the beer here. Give me a break. Medium low earthy hops. The alcohol, it doesn't jump out at you in the nose. It's actually so smooth that it seems like it could be medium low. But it's just seems smooth and inviting. There was a little bit of sherry, but not too much sherry there. It is kind of a low sherry-like quality. Clean and, no DMS or diacetyl. Comes across a little toffee-like, which I like. It's a copper-colored beer with a light tan head that starts medium and fades to a low color of mostly finer bubbles after a fair amount of time. And that's fine for the style. It shouldn't have a big head sticking around forever with all that alcohol. I did find that the beer is fairly murky, and that's one thing that I noted is I'd like to clear it up a little bit. So I knocked it down a point on appearance for the murkiness. Anyway, a fine point, I suppose. Flavor-wise, it's malty and vinous, with raisiny and caramelly flavors dominating the initial taste. Low, out-of-the-way bitterness, kind of medium-low, towards medium-low. A medium but smooth alcohol is apparent. Finishes semi-dry, fairly complex, and is balanced definitely to the malt. I got a medium-low earthy hop there, just kind of balancing along with the bitterness there. It is somewhat fruity, like an aged dried fruit character. And again, that leathery kind of quality. It's a clean beer, definitely very malty aftertaste. And, you know, it doesn't linger forever, but it sticks around for a good while. It's not like, oh, it's just gone and washed off my tongue. But yeah, that dryness does play a little trick on it. And, everything else is so smooth that it just, you drink it and then it kind of dries away after a little while. Mouthfeel-wise, medium full body, kind of medium full in that range. It's not super full, but moderately high carbonation, actually kind of pushing just a bit towards the too prickly side for the style. It was, really big hiss when you opened it, and it drove a lot of carbonation. So these bottles are pretty well carbonated, and that's, actually, it's easier to air in bottles on the other side of things, unless you're bottle carbonating. And sometimes if you do bottle carbonate, I don't really see anything in the bottom. It can go further towards that side over time as you age your beers. And, we've talked about that before on the show with barley wines. Like, the last one you drink can be it's carbonated perfectly now. this beer is super smooth, almost kind of creamy, with no astringency, and I really like the mouthfeel on it, other than the slight kind of prickliness.
Yeah.
Very pleasant drinking English barley wine overall, with a lot of interesting flavors to keep the tongue interested. CO2 seems just a bit high, a little too effervescent, but really a fine point there. Also drives some very nice flavors to your nose and over your tongue. So I really don't mind it, and it's not jarringly like, wow, that's way too carbonated. You can also perhaps figure out a way to clarify this a little better. But, overall, just a nice job. I mean, these are fine points. I think it's a really nice beer. I gave it a 41.
Wow.
It'd be interesting to talk about the water, too.
You think there's a water thing going on?
I don't know. I guess... I'm wondering if there's a little mineralness in there kind of behind the bitterness. It's kind of accenting the bitterness a little bit, but I don't know.
I'm usually really sensitive to that, and I'm not getting it. But
it's not chalky.
It's not there.
No, and I'm just wondering what if any water treatment was done and where you went with that. Like, isn't it burtonized kind of water, or is it because it seems like there is some minerality to it, but it's not distracting and like, oh, they really over-adjusted their water. But yeah, it's definitely like a 41-point barley wine here we're dealing with. This is nice. If you cleared up that, cleared it up, maybe dial back the carbonation just a little bit. Keep this recipe like it is. That's going to be a medal winner.
We have Ken on the line. Ken!
Yes!
What's up, dude? Hey, I was calling your other Skype thing or whatever.
I didn't know I had another one.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it on the sheet, so I apologize, man. But we literally just finished with your beer, but I'm sure we can give you some recaps unless you were listening.
I was not. I didn't know you could while it was live, but that's great.
Ken, how dare you not know everything about us? Well, thanks for joining us, man. Hey, again, my apologies, but I'm glad that we were able to fire emojis at each other for a second. That's just kind of what I really am all about.
It makes his life complete.
Yeah.
I definitely gathered that from the shows.
Well, you know what they say, man. Let's see. Where should we start, Brian Cooper?
Well, let's ask him about
how long he's been brewing.
Well, I've been brewing with my wife. My wife and I brew together.
Nice.
For about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are chemists by trade. She's a high school teacher, and I work at a university. So that kind of gave us a leg up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No wonder your fermentation is so good.
Do you ever use that against her whenever you guys are arguing? Like, well, look, I work at a university, so I know what I'm talking about.
No, she's much smarter than I am.
Good answer.
I'm not
going to
win that, whatever.
It's a good answer.
Kenneth, are you two in a homebrew club, or are you lone wolves of brewing?
Well, you know, I was hoping you would ask that.
Oh,
because I am actually in the greatest homebrew club in the country.
Oh, please give it a shout out.
The Star City Brewers Guild of Roanoke, Virginia.
There you go.
All right.
So it's a great club. I learned a ton from them. They have incredible brewers. We do quarterly competitions. We have the best homebrew tournament in the country, the Throwdown, if anyone wants to enter it. It's coming up in March.
Ooh, how do we enter that?
Well, it's going to be on the BJCP site. And we're kind of a small homebrew competition with about 225 entries, but we make up for it with about $8,000 in prizes.
Wow. That's pretty good.
You know, 225 is not tiny. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
one
a good size.
One last shout out about the best homebrew shop. My good friend Rob Burden, the Southern Hills Homebrew Supply. He's a big part of why our club is great and a big part of why my beer's so good.
Awesome.
A good local shop can really help keep the energy
going.
Yeah,
you got to have
that support.
For sure.
I'm assuming you like the beer. I didn't hear anything. But
no, it sucked pretty much.
I gave it a 4. Cooper gave it a 5.
Yeah.
13 did
low
not judge.
4.
Everybody liked the beer. Brian Cooper just finished. Brian Shar went. If you guys just want to do a quick recap for Ken, like a very like 30-second rundown of your thoughts.
Hello, my ESPN recap was I can't do quite like that. I gave it a 40. I thought it was really well done, really well attenuated. Fermentation was really great in this beer. It had a really complex flavor and aroma profile. We kind of went back and forth here a little bit. I probably should have given it a couple more points because I ideally wanted, looking for things that are, there were no off flavors, nothing wrong with this beer. I wanted to maybe have a little bit longer finish, but at the end of the day, I think the finish length is just fine the way it is. I like the attenuation the way it is. So 40 points here.
Yeah, read through the guidelines for English barley wine, and it hits most of the marks there. It's got some really interesting stuff. And then in the nose, I found a little fig-like kind of note behind the, all the other, the malt, caramel, and rich, and a little sherry-like. It's appearance-wise, I liked the appearance, the nice color, other than a little bit of murkiness, but, that's kind of a point down and then quickly forgiven. It's vinous in the flavor, kind of raisiny, caramelly flavors, and dried fruit. We're talking about the finish a lot. It's just semi-dry and kind of dries off the tongue, but still leaves a little lingering flavor for just a little while. And then you want another sip, which is a nice thing for one of these beers because it can really get you messed up that way. It's nice. The mouthfeel was pretty nice. I thought the carbonation was just a touch high, but otherwise everything was just kind of nice. I gave it a 41.
Oh, yeah. Grant, I love those scores.
Thank you. Yeah, we aim to please. I remember noting that when Kenneth sent me his first email, he said in his title of his message, "Delicious beers await your taste buds." And I was like, "Boy, this guy better deliver." Dang.
Are you sure you don't have a marketing side job? That you're working education as a chemist? You don't do marketing?
No, I don't. I think my homebrew club, if it's going to be a little disappointed that you guys are swelling my head here.
Mm. how old is this beer, Ken?
That's what I wanted to ask, too, yeah.
I brewed it almost a year ago. Almost a year ago.
Okay. See, really? I have a couple questions about it, and maybe I'm way off base, but do you guys think it's too bitter?
No.
Really? For an English barley wine, you don't think it's too bitter?
No, I don't.
No, you guys are high. I think it's a little on the bitter side. I could have sworn that this beer was 6 months old. Like, that's how well taken care of it is. For being a year old, still has a high retention of, from my opinion, bitterness.
My question was about the water treatment. So I did note it's pushing towards a slight minerality, not like an over-the-top, like overly adjusted water. But something in the water is playing off that bitterness and making it a little bit a little bit biting to me.
Okay.
What was your water that you used?
No, it's not my beer. I didn't do it.
Well, I could tell you what I adjusted it to. I mean, I put in 3.3 grams of gypsum and whatnot, but let me just see if I can tell you what exactly the...
And Kenneth, while you're looking that up, Jason, the guidelines say this can be up to 70 IBU.
Jesus
70
Christ.
IBU is a lot of hops.
In a fresh
so
one.
This is, I think, well within... I don't even think this is close to 70, but it's definitely this can be a firmly bitter beer.
I haven't really sat down with a barley wine in I would guess 10 years or more, but I like this beer. Yeah. Because I think it's what you're saying, Brian. Like you on the surface, you kind of want more to it. I think as home brewers, I mean, I came up in the late 90s of home brewing, right, where everything you just mash shit in there, throw as much crystal malt, all that kind of stuff, right? And I think that's what we were sort of used to brewing.
Right.
But I think that sort of course has corrected a bit, where you don't want as much of that weighty stuff in there. You want a lot less because you want it to be drinkable. Well, you don't want to have 4 ounces of it and go, well, I can't have any more because I had syrup this morning and my diabetes is out of control.
Right. Exactly. That's why I don't like pastry stout, because you can have an ounce and you're done. I could sit and drink this at the Grenade here all night and be happy. Yeah. You'd have to pour me home, but still.
Yeah.
So, the bitterness can be just enough to balance and up to kind of a firm presence. So there's a pretty wide range for bitterness. As they age, though, I would say it tends to fade down. So you would expect this one to maybe be coming across a little sweeter and not have that much bitterness. So maybe when it was fresh, it was much more bitter.
Yeah. Well, or
balance.
In another year.
Now it's good.
Yeah.
Or just,
we're
still
saving
high enough.
Bottles to open one every 6 months. So,
there you go.
It's
Kenneth,
good beer.
Do you
like
store
it.
Your bottles in a temperature controlled environment, or do you just keep them out in a closet somewhere?
It's in a very carefully controlled downstairs bathroom shower.
it's downstairs and it's in a shower, probably no exterior walls or something. Probably stays pretty nice down there.
Yeah, it does. It's pretty 67 or something like that down here.
Yeah,
nice.
Perfect.
Maybe even lower. It gets pretty cold in the winter, actually. Mm-hmm. But no, I was shooting for, 76 ppm of sulfate and 56 chloride. So it's not overly.
Yeah.
Well, those numbers seem fine to me. I think that.
Well, depending on where your water, if you're sure you know where your water started, did you start with RO or did you use your water and add gypsum to that?
I get my well water tested every year, and it's basically
because you're a chemist and you
can't RO water. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wow, really nice. That's great. Yeah. Now, Brian and I were having a discussion kind of before the show about whether there might have been any water adjustment on this. And I'm usually really sensitive to adjustment if it's out of bounds, and I couldn't tell anything. And
you could back off the gypsum just a touch. Just a touch.
Yeah. That might be the bitterness that JP is getting.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a little more bitter than I expected it to be. So I'll go with JP on that, but I'm hoping it's going to smooth out a little more as the years go on.
I know
JP wins one.
I get a point every now and then, Ken. Well, hey man, do you have any questions for the guys? At all.
No, I'm glad I caught you. And,
yeah, me too.
I look forward to you guys trying my next beer, which I hope is even better than this one.
What's your next beer?
Belgian Dark Strong, if I'm looking correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Very good. All right, Ken. Well, thanks, man. Now I got your true and proper Skype name. I will not make this mistake again.
All right, great.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks, Ken.
Later, thanks, Ken.
Bye.
Nice chatting with you.
Bye.
Good. Cool. I'm glad we got him on.
Yeah, good stuff, man. By the way, his Skype is I store beers in the shower. You want a 6969?
He literally does. Yeah. Well, this is nice.
All right, let's take a break. Take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to drink an American brown ale, and we're going to do a whole bunch of cool stuff like that. It's Dr. Homebrew. We'll be, right back.
The examination.
All right, welcome back, everybody. About to fire up Skype again and get our buddy Jason on the line to talk about American barley wine.
American barley wine.
American
it as an American brown ale.
American brown ale, dude.
If it's an American barley wine. I have to revisit my scores here.
Yeah, you've been hiding some American barley wine from us, man.
Well, you know that's what I do, man.
You got another bottle of that American brown?
American barley wine. Do I? No, I don't actually. I think
this
he.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, he only sent three, and so I sent you guys
we
one
got the
home.
Less carbonated version we could taste.
Oh, of the brown ale. Oh yeah, I got more of the brown ale, dude.
Bring on brown.
Okay, why is nobody accepting my invitations to chat or whatever, dude? I think I'm doing this wrong.
They don't like you.
Nobody. Who would, to be completely honest? Let's just call Jason right now.
Are you logged in as your right self?
I don't know. I don't even log out of this, so we'll see.
Okay, I'll pour the less carbonated version while we're at it here.
I have the light hit. I have more of the other one. Here, Jason, call me back, dude. Jason's on the bed.
People named Jason. I tell ya.
Dude, they are unreliable dickheads. Let me be completely honest. Baxter Smooth Brown Ale Carbonated Version number 2.
Okay.
You want that
cool.
one?
I want a side by side of them, yeah.
I don't think we have enough glasses for that.
I got a water glass. I just need to pound some water.
I don't have any water glass.
Oh. I'll finish my show beer and we'll just pour it in here.
That's fine. I don't really necessarily need to. All right, Brian Cooper, go ahead and please and start us off with. So okay. Clarify real quick for the listeners at home why we have two versions of the same beer.
Well, I guess Jason thought that his beer was not carbonated enough. Maybe he listened to us over and over talking about how beers are not carbonated enough when we get them, and they're not right, and it just falls flat because it lacks carbonation. And oh, sorry, we had to give your beer.
Are you doing a voice?
Because.
Are you doing a voice?
Kind of.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I could do one for you. Your beer should be a little more carbonated when it comes to us because in a beer geek way. Okay. If you want to be a 10th level beer nerd, you need to be sure your carbonation is high.
See, now I don't know if Brian's doing a voice.
Yeah. Who does?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
What is my real voice? Does anyone know?
This is the less carbonated. Okay, I got a big cup of the less carbonated here.
Oh, that's good news.
And then I'll open the carbonated, and I got you a glass.
Okay. So basically.
Let's hear the hiss. Put that up on the mic. You missed letting us hear the hiss of the carbonation. Oh,
the story is that we just have two different carbonation versions of the same beer.
He fixed it, and he sent us more. And it's fresher, and therefore it's going to be better, so that's the one we judged.
Okay. Cooper, go ahead and go first, please.
All right. Now I'm tasting the less carbonated version, but I'll be reading my sheet for the more carbonated version. Is that weird?
Only if you look at it in the eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm smelling it in the nose. It doesn't seem very sweet, but it's pleasant and a lightly chocolatey malt nose comes up. You know what? I need to do the carbonated version.
Yeah, the less carbonated. I mean, it's basically
it doesn't pop.
Lightly flat. I mean, it doesn't pop. It's almost more watery.
Yeah. Jason was smart.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Good job, Jason, for sending us the second one.
Big difference.
Yeah,
big difference.
For sure.
Here, pour yourself some of that. Yeah. More than do the side-by-side. This is amazing. This is what we're talking about on this show. We're getting geeky on you.
This is how much carbonation actually matters on the judging table.
The same beer, side-by-side. It's a night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, doesn't seem very sweet. Pleasant, lightly sweet, but chocolatey malt nose up front. And there's a low but fairly firm citrusy hop in there. It's medium-low fruity esters. Not super fruity, but just kind of in there. And, it seems like a nice ale ferment. Pretty clean. No DMS or diacetyl. There's other malt undertones in there, too, besides just, like, chocolatiness. It's not a one-trick pony, per se. There's some light nuttiness in there as well. You know, a little kind of bread crustiness and a little, light toast, light, caramel. Appearance-wise, it's a nice medium brown, very very clear, impressively clear, with a light tan head. The lights were dimmed earlier. Now it's a very light tan, almost beige colored head. Thanks for bringing those lights up, Bevo.
It's always best to judge beer in as dark a room as possible.
Then you don't see the murkiness.
Look,
and the weird
you guys,
head.
You guys seen that movie Inside Out? That's what it is in here. Okay,
you're
just my
the control room. Yeah,
yeah. I'm Ding Dong is what I am.
All right, we're judging beer here. We need some light.
No, we don't.
Come on, you can't afford to pay the bill.
The only light you're going to see is my soul leaving my body.
Ow!
We can't judge beer by candlelight.
Jason?
No.
Do we need to stop the show? And
no, we're fine. Keep going, Brian. Keep
candles
going.
Are interfering with the
let's go.
The aromas as well. I'm smelling your vanilla candles, and they're just not working for me.
I've been doing this for 36 minutes, and it's been the longest 36 minutes of my life.
Dear Lord.
Brian, we can help.
So the head really sticks around quite nicely.
It really does.
It's creamy in texture and thick. And nicely done. The head and the other examples actually sticking around pretty well, too. So that's, although I'm looking at yours, and yeah, there is a difference there. It's falling flat quicker, more quickly on that one. It's easily aroused. Nice job on the appearance. Three of three. Flavor-wise, this is a pretty rich malty beer. Medium-low chocolate, but not very sweet. It finishes medium to medium dry, I would say, in that range. It's okay for style. It doesn't have to be super sweet. It can be pretty dry, too. There's a range that's allowed there. It can be sweet or dry, almost. You can get away with a lot there. But depends on how you want it to express itself and what you're trying to do. The balance is definitely to the malt. And it has a low, earthy, citrusy hop. Medium-low bitterness, which is out of the way. And very clean fermentation. Not getting any water distractions here. No minerality, if that's a word. No obvious flaws at all, really. It's just a nice, clean ale. It's chocolate and toast and a light nuttiness lingering in the aftertaste. Just kind of sticks around, and then the CO2 is helping to push that. I'm going to check the aftertaste on this other beer, because I think that's something that carbonation is going to affect a lot, too. So the other one, it's also a little more aged in the bottle, so it does fall flat a little faster. Mouthfeel-wise, medium bodied, no warming noted, medium high carbonation, as should be pretty carbonated, somewhat smooth, not really creamy per se, but there's also no astringency here either. So just a nice kind of middle of the road smooth beer. Feel it on the tongue. It's not too prickly, despite the fairly high carbonation, and it's not warming or biting your tongue in any way. It's just nice and smooth. It goes down easy. Overall, this is nice, very pleasant drinking American brown ale.
Yeah.
I would say it's not on the overhopped side of the style, but also not on the there's a sweeter side, and there's kind of like the hey, we're America, we're gonna need to hop everything up too much, and I won't name any names of beers that have that kind of characteristic. And kind of border on the style of maybe a brown IPA kind of thing. But, this one just kind of hits all the marks for the style and is quite well balanced for what it is. Maybe searching a little bit for personality. Is it the sweet kind? Is it the hoppy kind? It's kind of the middle of the road.
Yeah. No.
But it has a nice malt complexity to it. You could use even a little bit more, though. It's like mostly the chocolate. and a little bit of breadiness. You know, you could bring up some other malts to make it just a little more interesting, but you don't really need to do that either. So
don't touch it.
I gave it a 40. I thought it was a very pleasant beer.
Yeah, don't touch it at all, Jason. If you touch this beer, I will know and God will strike you dead.
Don't hop it up, especially.
Don't ever hop it. I mean, maybe you could funk with it a little bit, with a little bit more IBUs, maybe like five, hop. maybe, yeah, a little aroma hop, maybe like some Huel Melon or something like weird and off the cuff, but
sure,
it's a great beer. Brian Char.
Don't say the beer gods are going to strike him down and then tell him to add more IBUs.
I didn't say the beer gods. I said literally God.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But Buddha will stop him, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's true. So what's interesting is, like Brian was saying, this beer, there's a 10-point difference between the less carbed and the higher carb version of this beer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just the pH from having that additional carbonic acid, if it's the mouthfeel aspect of having it not just be limp on the tongue. But the flavors are similar, but it's a significantly different. It's crisper, it's brighter, it's more perky. I want to drink more of the highly carbonated one, where the less carbonated one is like, okay, I had a sip. I'm not sure I want really a lot more.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd go 10 points, but maybe 5 to 7. It's a pretty big difference.
Okay, maybe 8, 7, 8. We'll maybe agree. we can both agree on 7 is the overlapping number there.
Sure.
I thought this was a really nice beer. Low malt in the aroma, low floral hops that complement and don't clash with the dark malt. Good choice of malts, actually. It's really hard with darker beers sometimes to do hop selection. And I don't know, when the brown IPA kind of came into vogue a few years ago, people used a lot of sea hops with the dark malts, and they just totally clash. You know, Cascade, Centennial, you know, Columbus, in my mind, none of those work very well with dark malts. So whatever your hop choice is here, it seems more British to me. Really, really complimented the dark malt. So good job. Low esters, kind of like a British fermentation character, kind of that vinous / maybe slightly woody character you get from British ale yeast. Malt definitely comes through stronger than the hops and the aroma, though. Gave it 9 out of 12. Appearance, 3 out of 3. There's a big heroic head that just doesn't want to go away. Color, this beer is dark brown with some ruby tint in it, ivory head. It's crystal clear, really well done. Flavor, initially I get sort of a toasty dark malt and chocolate with some British ale fermentation esters, like a vinous grape, a slightly woody character to them that you get with like the more traditional British yeast. Really well attenuated. Balance is slightly to the malt. Finish is long and malt focused. 14 out of 20 on flavor. Mouthfeel, carbonation is definitely higher than the lower carbonation one. I'd still put it in the medium-low level, but I think it's appropriate for this beer where it is. Maybe medium is where I should end up landing, in the low, medium to high spectrum. But it's definitely more what I would want to experience for a mouthfeel from this beer than the lower carbonated version of this. Mouthfeel is kind of medium-low, no warming, which you wouldn't want from a beer of this style anyway. Mm-hmm. Creamy, gave it 5 out of 5. Overall impressions, 7 out of 10. I think it's flavorful and well-made. It might be just a little bit on the British side of a brown ale to me. Mm. I do get some sort of, and this is, you know, nitpicking. Mm-hmm. So overall score is 38, which is a good score. It's a really good beer. I like it a lot.
It's technically very good.
It's exactly. Excellent. Jason.
Oh shit! Sorry.
Just an excellent score.
I'll never downgrade you again.
I'm picking nits here. But I get some of that. I personally get some of that British ale fermentation character out of this, and as an American brown ale, I'm curious to chat with you about what yeast you used. If you used like a Cal Ale, I retract my comments and I'm an idiot. If you used more of a London Ale type yeast, I might
then
suggest
you're the
next
idiot.
Time. No one's an idiot. It's just I would use more of an American. It doesn't have to be Cal Ale. It can be, you know, 20 kinds of American ale yeast you can use. Yeah. I might suggest more of a neutral American kind. But overall, I really like this beer. I think it's really well made. Like the last one, I would sit at the bar here at the Grenade and have like two or three of these and be really happy.
Not be able to drive home. Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see.
You drive me home, Brian.
I mean, I see what you mean about maybe it leans a little more English. Because American beers tend to just be a little more obtuse, a little more pokey. And English beers tend to be a little more smooth, and this kind of is a little more smooth with that. So I see what you're saying, and maybe that's why I like it so much. Because American brown ales usually across the board kind of suck. Like they're either overly sweet or overly bitter, overly hoppy, and they all kind of. I mean the only American brown ale worth drinking, honestly, is Moostrel. Everything else is kind of just blah and weird.
Or too sweet or too cloying.
So this, to me, is a great beer. If I could have this at my house on the reg, I would drink less Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yeah, Jason's going to give us his recipe.
And I would also, and on the spectrum, if there's American brown is a 1 and English brown is a 10, I'd still put this around like a 5 or under 5. I wouldn't say this is all the way into the English side.
Yeah.
But it's not a 1 like this is super American.
No, and I would agree with you, and I would venture to guess that's probably why Jason entered it in our little show as an American brown, because it is sort of riding the line between the two. It's not quite English, but not quite American, so I think he just threw a dart.
Cool.
That'd be my estimate. I don't know.
Well done either way.
Well, yeah, and it's a beer style that can have some of the flavor characteristics of the style that are listed in the guidelines are English style kind of characters, especially in the malt. It can have a little nuttiness to it.
Right.
Have some caramel.
Just like Brian Shaw.
Richness.
A little nuttiness.
Yeah, a little nuttiness, a little richness.
But definitely the carbonation does make it a lot more perky. I like a nice MLT that said, nice and perky.
What's an MLT?
Mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
Well, the mutton is
when
really
the mutton
lean.
Is nice and lean.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Sorry, it's a Princess Bride quote.
Oh.
How do you not know this, Jason?
What? Smoke weed about it.
There's nothing better than true love except a nice MLT.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Dude, if you're gonna feel so. You need to go home and watch Princess Bride. You will feel so much better about your life and everything.
You know what we're doing after the show, JP?
We're going our separate ways.
Going to your house and watching Princess Bride. That's what we're gonna do.
You guys are gonna drive 35 minutes out of your way to watch Princess. Watch me fall asleep on the couch watching Princess Bride.
We are.
I don't know about that.
Anyway,
all right. Well, very good, Jason. Sorry we couldn't connect with you, boy. Boy, I'm sorry about that, but we'll get you on the flip, dude.
I wanted to ask him about his homebrew club. I always do that. I wanted to hear
about his club. Yeah,
that's my thing.
It is your thing. That is you're the club. You're the club thing guy.
I've been deprived of my thing, Jason. You got to email us and tell us what your club is.
Please
and
do.
Give us a shout out.
Please
for your
do
club.
That. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap some stuff up, and then we're going to get out of here. Unless you're listening live, in which case you'll be trapped here. With me.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small 4-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up. You might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Kings.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine, or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, we're going to call Jason here real fast. Apparently, I screwed up.
You committed some Dr. Homebrew malpractice?
Again, yeah.
Does your policy cover that? Or does our policy? Oh, my God, does our policy cover that? Do we have a policy?
I don't know. I think we have a duck here that talks. I think it's the same shit, right?
Aflac! Oops, do we have to cut that out later?
Maybe. Probably have to cut it out on principle.
Yeah,
you cut everything out. Not actually, funny. Yeah, just play the commercials because they're the only interesting part.
Yeah, bro, just play the interview with the guest.
Yeah.
Just have Ken and Jason sound like edit like they're talking to each other. Mm-hmm. That'd be fine. All right, well, see, cool. He's not even answering anyway, so.
He's not on his phone.
Okay.
Good job.
Oh, man.
Good job, Jason. All right. Well, let's get out of here then,
he's
everybody.
Jason. Wow. We liked this beer a lot.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
These guys brought their A game. This was a great show for beer.
It really was a great moment
for mankind.
That's true.
Jason, if you want to email us what yeast you used for this, I'd be really curious. If you don't, that's cool. And enjoy the show in a couple of weeks. Thanks for sending your beer in.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. If you're listening live for whatever reason, give us about 15, 20 minutes to gather our purse and our pearls. And we'll be back on the air. And then if not, just go ahead and find another show to listen to on the Brewing Network. There's a bunch of them. I'm sure they're all great, but none is better than Dr. Homebrew, because this is really where you get all of your information. Everything else is just fun. But this is, you know, it's like everything else is icing on the cake, but really what you want is the cake, right?
Yeah. And where else do you have
no, wait, other way around.
The icing on the beer.
The other way around. Everything else is the cake, and we're the icing, because that's really what you want. You want to scrape your finger along the icing and taste it. Scrape your finger along us and you get
taste
the hint.
Taste us, yeah.
Do you want cake, Jason? We can get you
I hate cake. Cake is fucking gross, by the way. Pie is the best dessert. And cheeses. But pie.
But tiki drinks?
Well, I mean, you know, that's every day.
We could talk for an hour about this, but we probably shouldn't.
No. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This has been Dr. Homebrew, and you've been great. Good night.